Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome to Burden Blessing Podcast. I'm Pastor Neil Radical here with me today, retired Pastor Michael Schoenbeck. Great to have you today, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. We're studying a topic that I think is not talked about nearly enough, and I'm guilty of that as a pastor, to the idea of stewardship, a word that we don't typically use very often, but needs to be properly defined. We're looking at discussing this in two different segments, one with the idea of our motivation for stewardship or Christian giving, or the idea, and secondly, as the idea of really how to kind of do that, how to structure that, what to think about when we're setting up our idea for how we're going to give to back to the Lord who has given to us. So, Mike, why don't you start us off by kind of telling us a little bit more about stewardship and kind of explain more what that word means, if you would, please.
I think it's easier to think of, because we don't use the word steward too often in our language today, to think of being a manager or being a caretaker. If somebody would own a property and say, well, I want you to keep the repairs up on the house and cut the grass and so forth, and we would be managing that property for the individual. Or if we're managing somebody's money, or somebody's managing our money in investments, and then we have the sense of we are managers of what God has given to us, really loaned out to us, because we didn't come into the world with it, we can't take it with us, and He is giving us our earthly treasures and everything that we have to use while we're here on this earth, but we don't actually own them. We're managing what He has.
I like the way you said that. The idea of it's been loaned to us, it's been gifted to us to use for our short time on this earth. And you kind of hinted at Job there, who, you know, when he lost everything, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked should I return there. I really like that concept, because it really gives us a different attitude, doesn't it, about what we've been given and how we use that. An attitude that, I don't know what you think, but it doesn't seem like it's very common. There's an element of gratitude there when it comes to basically taking an inventory of what we've been given and what we're supposed to be caretakers of, isn't there?
Yeah, and it is the opposite of our natural inclination, where we're very possessive and we catalog everything that's ours and speak of it that way quite commonly. The idea is that we're going to dole out and use this because it's mine, and if I have to share it, I will, and so forth, rather than knowing that God owns it and seeing how much He has just blessed us with. That gives us a whole different attitude into how generous we would be, and actually how frivolous or whatever we're going to be doing with our money and how we're going to use our talents and so forth. It makes a lot of difference when you consider who is the giver of that and who it belongs to.
So we're coming back to that motivation for giving and the proper approach. Why do you think that pastors, myself included, fairly often, congregations don't talk about stewardship maybe as often as they should?
I think it's an uncomfortable subject, because as a pastor, it might seem like you're asking for money personally because you get paid by the congregation. Now you're talking about giving, and there's always in there too, I think, the perception of these televangelists who are doing the fundraisers and are always asking for money. We don't want to be perceived as that kind of pastor, or don't want to give the idea, and maybe we lean away from it too much. Then people, I've heard several people say, I left the church because they're always asking for money.
Yeah.
And I, in my life experience, that has not been the case. It's been very, very rare that I've heard a sermon about giving. I can only think of one, actually, one that I preached. But other than that, I'm sure maybe there were, but it's really hard to recall specifically as a regular thing, a sermon on giving and on stewardship.
So when it comes to the stewardship of that, how is the congregation hurt by not talking about it more frequently? Or even individuals.
Yeah, well, in any conversation about stewardship, it's going to start with the giver of all things, a giver of all things good being the Lord, and the talking about the reason why we're thankful, the reason why we would give. We're missing out on an opportunity to hear about that, but we're also missing out on an opportunity to express our love for God. If we don't know about what a good work is or what the will of God is, then we're missing out on the opportunity to do it. And I think we hurt ourselves by that. And it has nothing to do with the amount of offerings collected that, well, if we preach more about stewardship, then we're doing it so we can gain more offerings. It's the idea that the more we talk about this subject, the more we'll know what God wants us to do. And ultimately, in a proper discussion of Christian giving, it's going to focus on the love of God, the love of Christ, who gave all for us, who became poor that we might become rich in our inheritance of heaven.
I like the way you said that too, especially because we're recording this around Christmas time. It's so much focused on gifts and giving gifts to other people. Certainly you can have the wrong attitude in giving or receiving gifts. And I think it sounds like you're applying that to whether it be a congregation or individual Christian in how they're giving back to the Lord or expecting things from the Lord. You and I have talked about in the past about the prosperity gospel, that we're going to give in order that we receive an abundance back from the Lord, almost like it's like a deposit or an investment. I'm going to invest in the Lord, and he's going to double what I invest. So would that be an element of one of maybe several that you could suggest that improper ways or improper motivations for giving?
Absolutely, and that is a trap that the devil lays out there as far as a misinterpretation of Scripture. In Malachi 3, the Lord gives us the consolation that if we do give our offerings, then it's not that we're going to be shorthanded, that he's going to say, okay, you gave to me, but now you're going to have to do without because I'm taking that, and that's the way that it's going to be. Rather, the Lord says in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now, test me, prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And the believers in Malachi's day were being stingy. They were giving the sacrifices of the leftovers, like if they had animals that were disfigured or so forth. Those are the ones that they would offer to God. And the Lord's saying, look, if you put me first, if you give of your first fruits, fill my house, I'm not going to leave you empty-handed. You're going to be blessed even beyond what you have. And the problem is that that's misused, that certain prosperity, the mention of prosperity gospel, that people would use that as a money-making scheme. You give this amount and the Lord will double it or whatever figure they want to put on it, and that completely changes the motivation. In that case, you're not giving in order or out of love for God. Rather, you're giving to enrich yourself, and that's just a wrong motivation as one could think of, the opposite of what God wants us to do or to think about when we're giving.
I think that's an excellent point. Jesus talks about that in his Sermon on the Mount, if I recall, where he talks about don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and the idea of giving to the Lord without expecting anything returned. Isn't that what his grace is all about? Giving to us freely. We talked about the gift of Christ, the gift of his love, the gift of his birth. And I think you're really mentioning a good point when you talk about Malachi. Doesn't Haggai talk about those priorities as well? I think he says in Haggai 1 early on, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled, fancy houses in this temple to lie in ruins? Where are our priorities in giving back to the Lord as he's first given to us? I think you're really hitting the negative aspects for the wrong motivation for why we're giving to the Lord. You've commented before, we both purposely want to have it in our bulletin where we talk about Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter about do not give of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. He's talking about an attitude of the heart. What is the proper motivation for giving? And I think that's the main thing we're trying to focus on in this first part of this stewardship, being a caretaker of what he's given us, is really in response and thanksgiving. What I'm hearing from you saying is and how much he's blessed us, and really showing gratitude for how he's blessed us in our life.
If we take the attitude of the Pharisees that we're giving because we have to, or we're giving because it makes us look better, or we think that we're somehow owing God, or that this is an obligation. That's missing the point of that passage that you mentioned, that God doesn't want us to see it as a chore, writing out a check for the offering or grumbling to ourselves, this is something I have to do because I'm a Christian, that I have to give this offering, or I don't want to be badgered about it and so forth. But rather, it's just simply something that should overflow out of us because of the love that God has for us. When we examine the way that God has blessed us, temporally, eternally, especially the inheritance of everlasting life, is just so amazing. And just like we would do with a human being who loves us, that there would be a return of that love. So also with the Lord, when the more that we know about him, the more that we know what he has done for us, the more that we would be cheerful, and maybe not even think about it as a task or a chore, but rather just something that we're going to do, because we want to do it, not because we have to do it.
I like the way you said that. The desire to want to do that, if you were to do something for me, for example, it's Christmas time, you give me a Christmas card, a picture of your family, I'm going to naturally, oh yeah, here's one of my family too. We're rejoicing in our family and the blessings that they are. It's responding to someone else's gift. I really like the way you describe that, because being a caretaker, it means that we're responding. He's put us in charge of these things. He's blessed us with these things to be good stewards and caretakers of it. Now we respond back to him in love by giving of him our abilities and our time and the treasures that he's given to us. We love him because he first loves us. And I like the way you're equating this love, the idea of forgiveness and debt kind of comes in, the whole gospel, that there's more important things that we're caretakers of than material things, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's just incredible to think about that. Of all the ways that God could have chosen to share his word, to be able to bring his news of salvation to people, that he would choose to involve us sinners to do that. And it's an amazing thing when you consider it. And something you touched on too, as far as with the motivation and what giving, how that's good for us to do, not because God needs it, because he owns everything, but in our management of it, of what he's given us. Say, for example, that there would not be such a thing as offerings to the church. And you think of how would that make us? Or if he did not encourage us to help others with the resources that we've been given, wouldn't we become just totally selfish people, even more so than we are naturally? We're all terribly selfish. But if that idea weren't there, if that wouldn't be part of his will for us to be givers of anything, we would just be more self-focused, spend it on ourselves, and just totally focus inwardly rather than focus on him and helping our neighbor and what his will is for us.
I like that point about the gratitude that's behind it and the, you know, thankfulness. I'm not trying to promote their site or anything like that, but I've been kind of watching some of the Prager University, Prager U or online YouTube things, and they had a video on there that I thought was fascinating because it talked about our society. It really touches on exactly what you're talking about. Really, the key to changing our society's self-serving, self-entitled attitude, you know, whether it be the expectations that society wants that the government to take care of all their needs and to give them everything that they need, or, you know, whatever it might be, is that there's a big lack of ingratitude and that entitlement, because in general, people are not grateful because they expect certain things. And to the rest of the world standpoint, we're rather a spoiled nation. We have all these blessings we take for granted. You know, most people in the United States probably don't even know what a third world country is or what it means. I find it fascinating that in this concept you see in the Bible with the whole idea of the gratitude, if we're giving out of a cheerful heart, it's a thankful heart, out of thanksgiving for how the Lord has blessed us, blessings we don't deserve. You think of Job, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return, there the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He was truly content with having nothing, and Paul talks about that too. So I find it fascinating that a lot of these concepts we talk about in church, so to speak, you really see a good example of the negative aspects in society about how, you know, it's just there's a whole great deal of entitlement and lack of gratitude that we're seeing. I'm not saying throughout the whole world or among unbelievers only, among Christians too. There's a lot of expectations and self-gratifying rather than giving out of gratitude to the Lord.
It's our nature, isn't it, as sinners, that we want to receive more than we want to give.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the opposite, that, you know, blessed or to be more blessed to give than to receive. But by nature, it is, I mean, I like to get things. So yeah. We like to receive gifts, and the Lord wants to get us focused more on the giving end of it. And he doesn't need us. He doesn't need our offerings. He can function just fine without us. He could, just as like in the Old Testament, he had manna on the ground every morning. If in the church parking lot, you could have $100 bills laying out there every morning for us to, you know, operate a congregation, pay salaries, pay the light bill and everything like that.
That seems like it would be awesome, but it wouldn't be good for
us. Yeah. Well, I just think what that would turn us into. We would just become, we just would want to keep more to ourselves. But he is good for us to be givers, and because that's the way that God has it set up. And just like it with everything else that we may want to fight against, when God has something in his commandments or something in his will for us to do, we're going to be blessed when we follow that. You know, we don't want to, for example, adhere to the speed limit, but if we don't, there's consequences in the traffic ticket, possibly consequences in injury and so forth. You know, things like that. We're better off in following God's will. And so we need to examine, how does he want us to function with being the managers of what he truly owns? Are we just to use it for our own purposes, or are we to look at his system of what is good for us to do?
I think that's a great summary of what we're talking about today when it comes down to that motivation. It's self-examination of what is our reasons for giving or receiving anything. I like the way you said that. When we come away from this attitude of it is important to talk about, it is important to reflect, you know, just like we reflect on our sin, you know, we can have the sin of being ungrateful, we can have the sin of being entitled, and we can have that kind of, just like the children of Israel were before the Lord, you know, they had these expectations of God. But, you know, the Lord reminds us, you know, too much has been given, much will be required, and he requires us to be good caretakers of our earthly materials. And as you and I have talked about before, and we can talk about more next time too, is that, you know, he's given us the treasures of his word, you know, that saves our soul. And what a blessing it is to focus on those heavenly eternal treasures, you know, the riches that you mentioned right away, the manifold blessings of God. I think it's just a great reminder. I'm looking forward to next time, Mike, where we can look more in depth about how we really set up a plan, set up a idea of how to return God's treasures to him, whether they be our financial treasures or treasures of earthly wealth, or even the other things that we might touch on briefly, you know, of our talents and our time as well. So Lord willing, we'll get another chance to talk about that, but I really appreciate being able to discuss with you today, and hopefully our listeners got a lot of what we discuss and what the Word teaches us about. We have so much to be thankful for, and the gratitude that we really give out of the thankfulness for our heart for who first gave to us. So I appreciate your time. Any conclusion thoughts, or are we good?
Just real briefly, I think it's good to have that base that we're talking about today of, you know, keep, as it, I think it's in Colossians, set your mind on things above. When we keep that heavenly purpose in mind and the Lord's, what he has done for us out of his love and in his grace and in his mercy, that puts everything into perspective. And then once you have that idea and know what God is all about and his love, then everything else can fall into place. It's good to do that first rather than look at the specific action. We have to get in, you know the motivation and know why God would want us to do it, or know more about him, and then everything else will fall into place after that.
Absolutely. It reminds me of Romans, justification comes really before sanctification, God's declaration of us not guilty in Christ before we really want to live to serve him, you know, by living holy lives that glory and honor the Lord, with giving him of our not self-service, but selfless service back to the Lord, just like he served us. Thank you for your time today, and thank you all for listening in, and we ask that you continue to subscribe to our podcast and listen more in depth into some of the discussions and studies that we do, and we hope that you'll join us again next time. Lord continue to be with you and bless you, as we've been richly blessed by our Savior, and we are able to be glad to be able to serve him just as he served us.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.